expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Welcome to Generations Talk Radio. I am your host, Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. If you want to give us a call during the show today, feel free to do so at 605-4567 or jump in the chat room at kcnr1460.com. My first guest this morning is Jim Robinson with Senior Care Solutions. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Sharon. How are you?
Good, good. So we are on a committee working together with the Older Adult Policy Council on the Healthy Aging Fair.
Correct.
And we got some big changes this year.
We do. We previously held it at the Shasta Senior Nutrition Program building out on Mercy Oaks Drive. And this year we're actually going to have it at Mount Shasta Mall. So I think the venue is going to be incredible for the community and the attendance.
Absolutely. And for those of you who are wondering about this event, it's basically nonprofits, for-profits, agencies, and resources for seniors, families, people aging in Shasta County. So if you have a, if you're a caregiver, a family member of a senior, you're going to age here, you are aging here, this would be a great event to attend.
It's a great event because we're going to have the vendors that are going to be there are all people who serve the senior community in some fashion or another. So we're trying to get a well-rounded group of vendors out there so that we can teach people in Shasta County, particularly the children of the seniors, what mom and dad might need that they don't know yet. So
it
comes as a surprise very often. So if you have a business out there or you belong to an organization that touches the senior community, reach out to us. We're more than happy to get you the application or the entrance registration form. It's a great event.
And it's going to be Friday, May 11th.
Right, from 9 to 1.
And we'll be in front of JCPenney in the court there. So we have, you know, assisted living, home care, medical home care, placement services, transportation, nonprofits, you know, APS. What did I say? APS will be there. So if you want to attend, it'll be May 11th. If you have a booth particularly that you want to get us
if you have a booth you can call us and we'll set
that's
you up.
Right. you can call me at Home Helpers at 226-8350 or you can give us a call here at the show this morning and I'll be happy to get you that info. But yeah, we have I think space for 100 booths and we'd love to sell out.
Had 42 last year, and we were bursting at the seams. That's part of the reason for the change of venue. So now we can take up to 100. So that would be absolutely incredible if we could get there.
Mm-hmm. And my show on May 10th, we will be designating the entire show when Trish and I are on that day from 7 to 9 to this event. So we'll have a bunch of vendors coming on talking about it. So we're just kind of starting to get people excited about it. We want to be sure that we reach out to all the potential vendors because we really want to get, again, people, if you are serving that senior market, this would be a great event. It's $150 for for-profits and $50 for nonprofit. And all of the proceeds are going to Elder Abuse Awareness Month, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Which is the following month. So we're going to, anything that's made off of this event will just transfer into that realm to help underwrite all of the publicity for that, for commercials and different things that they're doing for Elder Abuse Awareness Month.
Yeah, they're going to light the bridge, I believe, purple on May 16th, and there's going to be an event there at the Sundial Bridge. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things going on. Elder abuse is a huge problem throughout the country, but in Shasta County. So this is a great event. If you're going to join in, as a vendor, you're going to help support the community in that regard. So it's absolutely fantastic.
Awesome. Well, and we're really looking forward to it. Again, it'll be Friday, May 11th from 9 to 1 at the Mount Shasta Mall. And if you want to give us a call, give me a call at Home Helpers 226-8350 for more information. I'd be happy to get that to you. So it'll be super fun.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to have passports and giveaways and more stuff to come. We're still kind of working on some things, but we want to make it really exciting for people.
Yeah, it's a work in progress.
Yeah,
so
next year we're going to have it really dialed in. But yeah. Moving venues, we're kind of going in baby steps this year to be sure that it's successful and everyone enjoys themselves and all of that. So
yeah, but it'll be nice to have it at the mall because it's a nice central location, easy for people to get to. It's the Friday before Mother's Day, so we're hoping that we have a lot of shoppers out there that'll swing by and see what's available for their loved ones.
I also think it's really non-threatening, too. You know, when you're thinking about, like in my business, home care, or in Jim's business, you know, placing your loved one or whatever the situation is, sometimes making that appointment, getting mom to go, having me come out and sit in your living room, that can be a little daunting. So this is a really great place if you have a loved one who is, you know, going to need these resources down the road, to come, make it a fun day, take them to lunch, come to the event, and approach people, start getting the information. You know, we all in the senior care community hear the calls and get the call when it's crisis mode.
Exactly.
And to be able to reach people with information before the crisis, it's one of the reasons why I do this show. That's why I love this event, because we want you to know what you need to know before there's a fall or a stroke or some medical emergency, and you're dealing with the grief of that issue on top of estate planning and money and finances and power of attorney and all these things that have to be put in play.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And very often what will happen is the children of the senior get thrown into this at the last moment. I've got to go to work. I've got to raise my kids. I've got all these things to do, and mom or dad needs care right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know quite what to do or where to start. And it may start with Sharon at in-home care. It may start with assisted living where I can help. But unfortunately, you need to be prepared for it. So really what you can do, this event, what we're trying to do at the Older Adult Policy Council is to educate the community of what resources are available to the senior, and do it before you need those resources rather than when you need them. It's a lot better to do it that way.
It absolutely is. And, you know, many times families in that crisis mode make a decision to move mom or dad, or pick a placement that maybe isn't the best placement or isn't the right decision because they need to do something. And so really, again, educating before that time, we want to see everybody age successfully. And I know this generation, Jim, you can attest to this, is very private and doesn't like to share a lot. And so this is kind of that conversation starter event where you can go, mom, what have you thought about, you know, as you're walking past different agencies? Have you thought about staying in your home or moving or in-law quarters, or what, you know, what do you see happening for you? Because it will sooner or later be the adult child's problem.
Yep, exactly.
It's coming for you. So, you know, and your parents want to protect you, but at the end of the day, it is going to be your problem.
It is.
You know?
And also, we are all aging. So when you show up with mom or dad, you might be thinking about what you might want to be prepared for, too. Because there are going to be some financial planners there, some other people that can help those that are not quite to the senior stage.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to get there.
That's right. That's right. Well, thanks for joining me this morning, Jim, and I will see you at the next OAPC meeting.
Sounds good.
All
thanks,
right.
Sharon. Appreciate the time.
We're going to take a short break and be right back with more Generations Talk Radio.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Signs, signs, signs. That's right, Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs, we do them. Vehicle wraps, we do them. If it's a sign, we do them. Vinyl, paint, 3D murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
Sorry, Bob, could we sign a monster truck reek? Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners to magnetics, from 3D to vehicle wraps to sandblasted to murals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, and insured contractors, we can install them and other sign shops can't. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at WonderlandSigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Signs staff. Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland Signs, now celebrating 31 years in business in the North State with amazing attention to detail and quality service. Wonderland Signs.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Welcome back to Generations Talk Radio. I am your host, Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. You can join us in the chat room at kcnr1460.com or give us a call at 605-4567. My guest this morning is Lorene Bauer, the Executive Director of Oakmont of Reading. Good morning, Lorene.
Good morning, Sharon.
So we are going to be chatting about dementia. I know Oakmont has a specialized memory care unit, and you and I have worked together before on this topic. And before we start, I want to read off some statistics about why, even if you are our age, that why dementia, Alzheimer's, is a concern. Every 65 seconds, someone in the United States develops the disease. 5.7 million Americans are living with Alzheimer's. By 2050, this number will be 14 million. The disease is costing us currently, as of 2018, $277 billion a year. By 2050, $1.1 trillion a year. Is that crazy? This is another good one. The amount of caregiving hours, unpaid caregiving, so this is family caregiving, 18.4 billion hours a year of family members caring for a loved one with Alzheimer's, and the value of that dollars is $232 billion. Between 2000 and 2015, deaths from heart disease have decreased 11%, while deaths from Alzheimer's disease have increased 123%. One in three seniors dies with Alzheimer's or another dementia. It kills more than breast cancer and prostate cancer combined. This probably doesn't surprise you because you're an expert on this kind of stuff. But
this is staggering, though.
Yeah.
We are, you know, seeing increase, and every day we're seeing families who are being impacted by this. And these numbers come from the Alzheimer's Association 2017 Facts and Figures. And each year they produce a report that we are seeing an increase in these numbers. Alzheimer's is the only disease in the top 10 for which there is no cure, and there is nothing that can slow it down.
That's crazy. And I know I've had you in to train my staff on this topic because, of course, a lot of times out in the homes where we are caregiving, we have clients that have been diagnosed with some type of dementia. So thank you for that. You're always a great teacher.
I enjoy
so
it.
So tell us a little bit about, and I don't really even know this answer, how you got into this, what's your background, and what led you here to Oakmont?
Okay. I have kind of a winding path that led to this work. I actually was looking for work about 10 years ago and was trying to find something that would be a good fit. Work that aligns with my passion has always been important to me. And I was looking for work in marketing, and I saw a position for a marketing director of an assisted living that specialized in dementia care. My maternal grandmother had dementia. And so that was something that I cared deeply about. And so I thought, you know, this might be a good fit for me. And it at the time was the right thing for me. And in the process of getting into working in this field, I met you within probably the first month
of working
in the field, and just started to really spend time learning about dementia and learning about the way it impacts families. My family, unfortunately, didn't take the time to learn a lot. And I don't want to vilify my family, of course, but we didn't learn about how to interact with my grandmother. And so throughout the end of her life, we were still trying to reason with her.
Mm-hmm.
We were still trying to convince her that the nursing home was, in fact, her home. And as I have learned more about dementia and about interacting with people who are living with this disease, there are a lot of more compassionate ways to interact. And so one of the things that I've become passionate about is learning about how we can better connect with people who are struggling with this disease, mm-hmm. and how we can support family members who want to have meaningful interactions mm-hmm. with their loved ones.
Because you and I definitely run across that family member that, Mom, I told you this already, you know, and I'm always like, you know, you can go down this path with her and she's going to stay on this mm-hmm. hamster wheel.
Right.
You know, and so it's really, and we'll talk more as the show progresses about some tips about communicating, because that is definitely, we as the cognitively healthy person mm-hmm. have to set the path.
Right.
And we can't go, we can't argue and we can't reason and we can't remind and all of this kind of stuff, because that's just so super frustrating for everybody,
right.
and a trigger for a lot of people. And so, and I know you've done a lot of training in this field, mm-hmm. formal training.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Right.
And so, what do you think, like, as far as your experience goes, what do you think is like, how do you think people get to accept this? Because when I'm dealing with families, a lot of times there's a lot of denial going on. And how do you, what is your approach to get family members? And I'm sure there's people listening that have this going on, and there's that one family member who continues to be in denial, continues to not think it's that bad, continues to struggle with it. How do you kind of help families get to that point?
I think every family is different. One of the things that you and I have talked about before is in training people about dementia, we certainly will look at pictures of brains that have been impacted mm-hmm. by dementia. And one of the things that family members often struggle with is because they can't see the changes in their loved one's brains. They struggle with understanding that those changes are real and they mm-hmm. are there.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it's a matter of educating, helping mm-hmm. someone to really see visually what is happening in their mom's brain.
Mm-hmm.
We don't take that approach with everyone. Sometimes it's a matter of having a hard conversation
mm-hmm.
and saying to someone who might say, well, you know, I'm not worried about my mom. She's not wandering. And the challenge is that you never know with someone who has dementia when they may decide to do something, because judgment is one of the mm-hmm. things that is affected with dementia.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone is confused, they may not be choosing to leave their home, but they may wander out the front door simply because they're confused
mm-hmm.
or they think they want to go somewhere. And so helping families to really embrace the understanding that safety is really important,
mm-hmm.
and if we want to honor our loved ones, we have to think about their safety.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we get pushback a lot is, well, I don't want to have someone move into my mom's home and help her with things because I want to, you know, help and be respectful of her, and I want her to know that, you know, she can still do these things. But, you know, sometimes the best thing that we can do, the most respectful thing we can do, is put that support in place
mm-hmm.
to meet those needs.
Absolutely. And I have run into this a few times with family members giving mom a vote. And I always say, you know, when people are reasonable, they get a vote. When they're not reasonable, we don't take their vote away. We just don't offer it. You know, and I mean, I've had where, you know, we have a spouse caregiving, like let's say the wife is caregiving for the husband. He has dementia. She's really run down. She's, you know, having a lot of issues. The family's really worried about her. And in the middle of our meeting, the son will look at dad and go, so dad, how does this sound to you? And I'm like, dad's getting great care. You know, dad's getting great care. So he's going to say, I'm fine. I don't know why we need to do this. Mom is the one who is run down and ill and losing weight and having issues. So, you know, dad's not going to be on board for this,
right?
You know, and so let's not even put him in a position of power. Let's just say we're going to move forward with this. And I always say, you know, what times a day do we think would work? What kinds of things can they do while they're here? There's things that can be collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what kinds of things are we thinking? What kind of personality would you like your caregiver to be? You know, what, you know, let's talk about what kind of food they can maybe make for you, things like that. But, you know, you really, and it's so hard, and I totally have compassion for family members, because my grandfather developed dementia, and it's so hard. You look at this person, grandfather or father or mother, as that person of, you know, my whole youth, of my, you know, 35 or 40 years when he got diagnosed, it's so hard to not talk to him the way they're used to talking to him and not give him, you know, that, I don't want to say respect, but that vote and that reason mm-hmm. to have these discussions. You just resort back to what you're used to doing.
Right.
So I totally get that, the adult children trying to honor their parents and give them that respect and then balance that with safety. And it really is, it's a tough road. I mean, I have a lot of compassion for it because it was even for us, like my uncles are trying to take grandpa over to help him build a fence. And I'm thinking, that's not something he can do anymore, you know, and they learned that when they got him over there. But, you know, we all want to just go back where we're familiar. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you see that too.
Yeah.
That family's struggling with that.
It is mm-hmm. very hard to see the decline. And one of the things that you asked the question about working with families, I think empowering families to find ways to interact when it comes to that conversation about getting some more care, where they can actually say, you know what, I know that you don't need this care, but I would feel better mm-hmm. if we had a care provider come into the home and assist you 5 hours a day. I know that you don't need it, but could you humor mm-hmm. me and mm-hmm. do this? And take that approach. Use different tactics to try and help them understand.
They will do it for the kids. They don't want to burden their children.
Right.
So I've had a few kids do that guilt one. Mom, please, I can't sleep at night knowing you're here, and if you can just do this for me. And then, you know, really, honestly, once the help gets in there, and especially if they connect with the caregiver, it's not a lot of work.
Right.
It's just getting that initial foot in the door kind of thing. So a little bit, and you used this analogy once with my staff, a lot of people are unclear as far as what is the difference between dementia and Alzheimer's.
Okay.
And you illustrate your Campbell soup story.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there is an author. His name is David Troxell, and he has a book that is titled Best Friend's Guide to Dementia, and it's a great resource. One of the best descriptions I ever heard to answer the question that we always receive is what's the difference between dementia and Alzheimer's disease is that dementia is a set of symptoms that is caused by many different diseases. So Alzheimer's is one disease that causes dementia. So the example that David Troxell uses is if you are at the grocery store and you're standing on the soup aisle, you may be looking at Campbell's soup. So you're looking at all of these red and white labels with Campbell's written in gold, and you see that is Campbell's soup. But there's beef and barley, and there's chicken noodle. And so the example that he uses is that dementia is like Campbell's soup. So there are all different kinds of dementia. Alzheimer's dementia is one type. It's actually the most common type. Over 50% of people living with dementia have Alzheimer's disease. There is also Lewy body dementia. There is vascular dementia. There is Korsakoff syndrome. There's a whole host of different diseases that cause dementia.
So reaching out and grabbing that cream of mushroom is really Alzheimer's disease.
Right.
Right. And so and that really helped me put it in perspective, and I've used that with families a few times because they're not really sure what that umbrella falls under. Not,
right.
Not really that it matters. Really, the truth of the matter is we're treating dementia and some form of it. And do you see a difference in how you would approach a patient with Alzheimer's if it was like, you know it's Alzheimer's disease? Versus a regular dementia? I mean, is the care pretty much the same across the board?
I think care and approach to behaviors and effective communication is probably the same across the board. I think where you get into some differences would be in the different medications that might be used to address different mm-hmm. issues that
right.
are related to mm-hmm. that dementia. So, for example, we have had residents, I work in assisted living, and so residents who live in our community who may have a certain type of dementia that may react with a negative reaction to a certain type of medication. And so when you can get a full diagnosis, it's great to have that information. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's something that is a little challenging for people
mm-hmm.
to do.
Mm-hmm. And when we come back after this break, we're going to talk more about tips for you. I also want to kind of talk about what maybe some first signs of a memory issue look like, and we can kind of talk about that if you have concerns about your loved one. So stay tuned for more Generations Talk Radio right after this. This is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
Saturday, April 14th, the CFR presents the Jefferson Fest in Anderson River Park. It's a free, family-friendly event where the fun starts at noon. There will be children's games and crafts, laser tag, and fantastic food. We'll have five local bands playing folk, country, soft rock, and other cover songs. There's another dream vacation being raffled from Boomerang Travel. Look us up on Facebook, The Jeff Fest, on the Liberty Tour page.
Oh, hey, did you get your tickets for the Sundial Film Festival yet?
No, I've never been to it before.
It's on Saturday, March 24th at the Cascade Theater. This year, you'll see local films that are a minute to 20 minutes long.
When you said film festival, I assumed you meant it was an all-day event.
Nope. And the best part is the film festival focuses on North State filmmakers. Every year, we get tons of entries, but we save the very best films for Saturday night. So you're guaranteed a great show. It's like Redding's own Oscar night.
That sounds amazing. I love movies and short films. How do I buy tickets?
It's easy. To get your tickets, just go to sundialfilmfestival.com.
Great. I can't wait to tell my friends.
Action. Drama. Adventure. Comedy. Saturday, March 24th at the Cascade Theater. The Sundial Film Festival. Buy your tickets now at sundialfilmfestival.com. The Sundial Film Festival. Brought to you by the Active 2030 Club of Reading.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
Locally owned KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Radio, is also home to local programming and local sports. Mondays at 6 p.m., Radio Wasteland explores the mysteries all around us with a team of researchers who dig deep into the unseen world. Thursdays at 6, it's Chris and Jen Gomez keeping you up on pop culture and entertainment with We're a Little Behind, KCNR, where you also get local high school football, basketball, and, of course, baseball with the Reading Colt 45s. KCNR 1460.
Welcome back to Generations Talk Radio. I am your host, Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Thanks for joining us today. My guest in studio is Loreen Bauer, Executive Director of Oakmont of Reading. And we were chatting about dementia and Alzheimer's disease and the impacts of that and the impacts on families of that. And before the break, Loreen, I kind of wanted to chat with people because I think that we all have a lot of fear that our loved one is going to develop dementia. And there's a lot of statistics that they may, I mean, mm-hmm. the way this is growing. What are some of the signs that you have seen, and I'll talk about some that I have seen too with people in the early stages? What can families be looking for? Because it is true, with some intervention, when you see these things, you can set up some safeguards for your loved one. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to move them into a home or assisted living or have home care come in, but there are little things that you can start doing to help this process and to make them comfortable and safe when you see these signs.
Right.
Yes. So what are some of the things that you see?
I think some of the first signs that families notice are related to short-term memory.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely a hallmark, and it's something that people start to see when their loved one starts asking the same question repeatedly. That's certainly something that is evident when we talk to people. I think the other things that we hear are about some changes in personality. Maybe loved ones who are doing things that are out of character,
mm-hmm.
and someone who maybe has been judicious about spending all of their life suddenly is spending lots of money, or they're giving money away to unknown entities. And so some of those are some of the early signs. The thing that I want to caution, though, is that a lot of times there is age-related memory loss.
Of course.
That
yeah.
is normal.
Short-term stuff.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the best resources I've seen is the Alzheimer's Association has a tool, and it's 10 signs and symptoms. And that tool is great because it lists all these different signs and symptoms, but it also gives you perspective on what items are actually normal. Mm-hmm. So if you lose your keys, is that a sign of memory loss? Probably not. But if you lose your keys and you find them later in the freezer, might be a sign that something is developing.
Yeah, my grandmother, in her, 80s, says she went to the doctor and he used that example. She says, I feel like I'm getting Alzheimer's. And he says, Elizabeth, if you lose your keys, you're fine. If you find your keys and don't know what they're for, it's Alzheimer's.
Exactly.
I definitely see a lot with medication management too. Mm-hmm. People that have been really, really diligent about medications and all of a sudden are skipping, overtaking, undertaking, don't know what things are for. That's right. A really good intervention for family to set up the pill minder, to put the bottles away,
right.
Kind of double check in on that. Hygiene, I think, is another one. Mm-hmm. If you have a family member, a lot of women that were, very, very good with changing clothes and bathing and things like that. And so, again, this may be a natural aging issue or it could be something more, but I think it's really important to just be aware.
Right.
And be watching for those things because it could be that, you have a caregiver come in a couple times a week and assist with a shower or find out why there is a bathing issue. Maybe it's too cold. Maybe it's unsafe. Maybe he's afraid of a fall. But, it's important to ask those questions and get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I think you want to look for patterns. I think that's going to be the biggest thing that you will find is that there may be some one-offs where someone forgets something. But if you're seeing something routinely, that's when you want to start mm-hmm. Looking into getting some help.
Mm-hmm. My grandmother had dementia later on, but through her 80s, a lot just short-term memory. So she came up with her calendar, and she would write all of her stuff. And I have a lot of clients that, again, have that little bit of memory going on, which we're all going to have
right.
at some point, but have put in play other ways to keep themselves organized with a calendar and appointments on it. And boy, when I want to go out and see them, they're like, nope, you can't come that day. I have a doctor's appointment. Isn't that in the morning? Can I come in the afternoon? Nope, I've already got an appointment that day. That's all I can really do, one appointment.
Right.
But all kidding aside, I think there are a lot of things that we can assist with as the aging process takes place. Another thing I want to chat about is sundowning.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, and I try to talk with a lot of families about this, and generally, it's described as kind of a restlessness and an anxiety kind of later afternoon, 4 o'clock to like 8 or 9 o'clock.
Right.
Kind of a wandering, more confusion,
mm-hmm.
more anxiety, more irritability.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Yep,
yeah,
absolutely.
Okay.
You know, the last time I met with your staff, one of the questions someone asked was if a lack of sleep will impact how someone with dementia is operating in the world. And I said, of course.
Mm-hmm.
When I don't sleep well, I don't operate as well. I'm not as kind, certainly. I'm not
sure,
as patient.
Yeah, yeah.
And so one of the things that we see with sundowning is, people who have dementia are really doing the best they can all day long. They're just trying to manage. They're trying to get through the day. And in the morning, someone might be a little bit sharper. We hear from families, oh, she seems like she does really well in the morning, but man, by the afternoon, she's more confused and her anxiety has increased. And some of that has to do with the fact that that energy bank just gets used up.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't have that anymore and you can't cope anymore, then you maybe start acting out. You might start expressing some anxiousness that wasn't there earlier in the
mm-hmm.
day. And so sundowning is something that folks with dementia, and particularly Alzheimer's disease, will not necessarily develop, but it is a hallmark that some, that people will go through, and families have to learn how to address that and how to provide that support to someone who is feeling that anxiousness.
Mm-hmm. And part of that is, again, scheduling appointments in the morning, not
mm-hmm.
setting mom up for failure, so to speak, by having, appointments in the afternoon or visitors coming in the afternoon, not really bringing up topics
right.
That are stressful during that time. I've had family members not mean to do this, but, I had a son that when the Chilean miners were trapped underground, turned that on for his mother, who we were caring for, that had Alzheimer's. And, she didn't remember everything, but she was obsessed
right.
with those Chilean miners, and mm-hmm. all night long, she was up all night long checking on the TV, checking on where they were, and it's like, we'll get people hooked on these things and cause them more anxiety. We don't mean
mm-hmm.
to.
Right.
But being really aware of that, being positive with news and stories and things like that. And also, you know, we've had clients, Lorena, I'm sure you do too, that we have a little as needed medication during that's just available, a little calm down something during that window. If we've tried to redirect, if we've tried to take a walk, we've tried to have tea or whatever, it's not something we automatically give people. But when you see that kind of start to develop and, you know, and I tell families all the time, you know, responsibly medicating people is a loving thing to do because that anxiety is real.
Yeah.
We don't understand where it's coming from or why, but to watch someone pace and be confused and not know where they are and want to leave and they can't leave. And that's all we see that's coming up. It's real.
Right.
And we can't understand it. We've tried to redirect it, but let's take that away from that person. Let's make them comfortable.
Right. You know, I had a conversation with a resident family member yesterday, and this resident has been resistant to bathing. And his daughter mentioned to me that she is so concerned because she observed the way that he was fighting the idea of taking a shower. And she said, "I thought he was going to have a stroke." And she has since reached out to his physician to talk about if there might be some PRN medication that could help him, because it's not good for his health to get worked up at that level about taking a shower. And, of course, we're not going to try and make him take a shower daily. We know that that's not a hill to die on, but hygiene is important. And so it is something that needs to be a part of his overall care. And identifying a way to do that takes the stress out of it is really important for his quality of life.
Absolutely. And I know, and I have had family members that, you know, again, like I'm not a medical person and I always say talk with your physician, but medications are a wonderful thing if used properly and can really, especially when you're dealing with a dementia where most of the time it's going to increase to a point where the person is requiring 24-hour care, awake care.
Right.
You know, their sleep patterns are crazy. You know, when I was quoting these statistics earlier in the show about how expensive care is, I mean, it can bankrupt you.
Right.
And eventually, most people that have some type of dementia are going to either need 24-hour awake care at home or 24-hour awake care in assisted living because of those risks of and a lot of wandering at night and getting up. But I have had families, I'm like, you know, mom's up all night, she can't sleep. You know, it's not all the time, but I'm like, have we talked to the doctor about a low-dose sleeping pill? Let's see what we can do, you know, before we move dad out of the house. Is there something that we can do to help? Because the chemicals in the brain, things are off.
Yeah.
And do you guys have experience with that, too?
Absolutely. And the other thing you want to do is set up routines and patterns. You talked a little bit earlier about trying to set up doctor's appointments for times when the person would be able to have a successful visit to the physician. You want to do the same kind of things throughout the day. You want to set up meal times that are routine. You want to set up bedtime patterns. We, you know, learn a lot about blue light and how it affects us at night. And so some of us try and limit that. Well, we want to do things that are soothing for people who have dementia in the hours before bedtime so that we can do everything we can to set them up for a successful night of sleep.
And as you alluded to earlier in the show, when that doesn't happen, the symptoms of this are going to be exacerbated the next day.
Exactly.
And that's going to be tough. And let's see, what else do we want to talk about? The Walk to End Alzheimer's is coming up. If you want to get involved, tell us a little bit about it.
Okay, so the Walk to End Alzheimer's is on September 22nd, and this will be, I believe, the seventh or eighth year that we have actually hosted a walk here in Reading. And the Walk Central is always down at the Convention Center, Turtle Bay. That's where we start. And then it's a 1 or 3 mile walk that goes around the Arboretum Loop. The great thing about this walk is it's an opportunity to raise awareness about Alzheimer's disease and its impact. It also gives us an opportunity as a community to raise money, to fund research, and also support groups and different educational initiatives that the Alzheimer's Association puts on. So there is actually a committee that puts this walk on, and today is their first committee meeting. So if you're interested, you can contact us after the show, and we can give you information about that.
And I will say, I have, for whatever reason, last year was my first time. My staff has walked before. We've had other office people put it together, and I've always been gone. But this last year, I was able to go, and it's really empowering and emotional. And they have these flowers that spin, and there's like a garden, and you pick a color. If you've had a family member that has had Alzheimer's, if you have Alzheimer's, if you're a caregiver of Alzheimer's, mm-hmm. you pick a different color, and then they when you're all talking in a group, they have you raise your flower, and the wind was blowing, and all these petals on these little, like a little windmill flowers. It was gorgeous. It was just, mm-hmm. it was, and you walk across the bridge, and you put them on the other side,
yeah.
and just really honoring this journey for people, honoring the people that are fighting it, and the people that are fighting it in the medical way of physicians and research and wanting to fund that, because we are all going to be dealing with this in some way, if not in our families, financially as a country.
Right. It is a very poignant experience. And there is a family locally that has a team that they actually every year kind of, you know, knock the ball out of the park with their fundraising. Mm-hmm. And their mom had Alzheimer's disease. And when she found out she had Alzheimer's disease, she started calling it the ugly A. And, you know, it's one of those things. She was an amazing woman. Mm-hmm. I had the privilege of knowing her, and her family just honors her through the experience of raising funds. And so every year it's an experience for us to support families who have gone through this journey and also to help people who are going to be impacted by it.
Yep. It's crazy. September 22nd. And we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, final thoughts from Laureen. She has some support groups to talk about and also some books to recommend if you want to educate yourself more. So stay tuned for more Generations Talk Radio.
Longer than there have been fishes in the ocean, higher than any bird ever flew. Longer than there have been stars up in the heavens, I've been in love with you.
I'm tired of working for minimum wage. I'm ready to go back to school and learn a trade so I can take better care of my family.
Shasta College has more job training programs.
I've always wanted to go to college, but I'm just not sure I can afford it.
Shasta College has more financial aid.
I plan to attend a university, but would like to save time and money by taking my prerequisites close to home.
Shasta College has more guaranteed transfer programs at a fraction of the cost of a CSU, UC, or for-profit college. For over 65 years, Shasta College has been helping people like you get more out of life with job training programs and transfer-level college courses so you can save 2 years' worth of higher tuition costs. With Shasta College, it's all about more. More classes, more flexibility, and more ways to graduate and transfer than ever before. Make an appointment today to talk to a counselor about how you can achieve your goals. Call 242-7650 and start fulfilling your educational dreams. For more information, visit online at shastacollege.edu.
Residents of a swanky retirement home are looking at financial ruin thanks to a crooked advisor, but see a way to exact revenge, recoup their losses, and stay out of jail, maybe. Join the fun as the Riverfront Playhouse presents Jack of Diamonds, a comedy by Marsha Cash and Douglas E. Hughes, directed by Leon and Kathy Compton. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store on Placer Street in Redding. Showtimes Friday and Saturday at 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, March 10th through 31st.
KCNR Free Fire Media has a rare opportunity for the right person right now. We have an opening for an entry-level board operator producer to work live weekend shows and fill in shifts as needed. The ideal candidate will be ready to work in a fast-paced, live broadcast studio environment, have excellent attention to detail, and have the flexibility to respond well to rapidly changing situations. Applicants will also be required to pass a drug screening test to be considered for employment. Broadcasting experience is helpful, but not necessary. Training will be provided. Computer skills in both PC and Mac operating systems will be a huge plus. Veterans will be given special consideration for this position with huge growth potential. KCNR Free Fire Media is looking to make major expansions during this next year with an FM channel and increased presence on the internet, including live video streaming. Come be a part of our growth at Free Fire Media. Send your resume to Bob at KCNR1460.com to schedule an interview. KCNR Free Fire Media, locally owned, equal opportunity employer.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name.
I'm Jeff Fink.
president and CEO of Cornerstone Community Bank, and I invite you to stop by our new downtown Reading branch located at 1845 California Street, one block south of Jack's Grill, or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Our team is ready to spoil you with personalized service.
Cornerstone Community Bank, we invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Welcome back to Generations Talk Radio. I am your host, Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. We are embracing aging today, and my guest is Lorene Bauer, Executive Director of Oakmont of Reading. And we've been chatting about Alzheimer's disease and other types of dementias. And I know, Lorene, one of the things that I think is really important and a lot of is the caregiver getting support, whether that's a child or a spouse, even if you're not an active caregiver, to have support from other people that have a loved one going through this experience, understanding types of approaches, what to do, what not to do, finding some humor in things at times. Support groups are an amazing resource for people.
They are. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I have found is that people go to support groups expecting it to be a really sad experience because that's your idea. You think people are going to come together and they're going to cry about how bad everything is. I have found that people who attend dementia support groups learn how to navigate this challenge together with humor.
Mm-hmm.
And I would sometimes say to people who would visit a support group that I facilitated, I'm going to warn you in advance that we laugh a lot. It's not that we don't understand the gravity of the situation, but we choose to laugh rather than cry.
Mm-hmm. And there are times, even with, you know, my grandmother in her final days with dementia, the guy I was dating at the time sent flowers to her. And as they were being carried in, my dog ran up to her and jumped on the bed and got credit for those flowers the entire time that my dog brought the flowers. And so I thought it was super funny that, and we laughed about it,
right.
You know, and she would sit in her hospital bed in my living room and say, I don't know what I was thinking with these dreary paintings in here and blah, blah, blah. And thinking it was her house and she was insulting my decorating experience. And so, but we did take some notes and find humor in some of that. And you can,
right.
It's okay to laugh, you know, it's such a sad experience, but it's okay to have some humor at times for sure.
Exactly. It is a journey that is filled with grief and, it's important to find some levity along the way.
Mm-hmm.
I had a resident family member once who told me that his mom had said to him, I went to Cuba last night. And, you know, some family members would say, oh, no, you didn't. You stayed here. You slept in your bed here at this assisted living. But this gentleman decided to embrace it. And he said, what did you do in Cuba?
Yeah. Let's have a conversation about it.
And he heard about a great adventure and had a wonderful experience with his mom because of it.
Yeah. And so you guys host a support group at Oakmont.
We do. Mm-hmm. So we actually work with Passages, Caregiver Resource Center. Maggie McNamara is a family resource specialist, and she facilitates a support group at Oakmont. It's every other Thursday at 2 p.m. It typically goes from 2 to 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm. And I would encourage people, if you have, even if you're not, maybe you have a parent who's been diagnosed and you want to take mom or dad, the caregiving spouse, it's really important. This is a marathon, not a sprint.
Right.
And to really be armed with that support and those people that get where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times, you know, when as things progress, you end up kind of living in their world.
Yeah.
And it's important to get out and connect with other people and have reality checks.
Yeah, you can see that you're not alone. And then you also learn a lot from others who are traveling this road. So I had a resident family member once who her loved one started to show signs of wandering at night. And she was talking about it at the support group. And someone piped up and said, you know, when my loved one did that, I hid their shoes. Because my wife would never go outside without shoes. So I hid her shoes and she didn't go out.
That's
so
a really good
this
idea.
Family caregiver tried this and it actually helped.
Mm-hmm.
It helped her to buy some time while this person was, you know, feeling anxiety and like they needed to leave at night. So support groups are great because it gives you an outlet to connect with people, but it also gives you an outlet to learn things that people who may be a little bit further along the journey have found.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And so for people listening, you had some books, too, that you thought would be great resources for people.
Right. So one of the books that is kind of a hallmark is The 36-Hour Day. And The 36-Hour Day is not a book that you're going to sit down and read cover to cover. It is a resource guide. So if you're having a challenge convincing your loved one to take a shower or to go to the doctor, you can actually thumb through this book and find ideas for ways to approach those different kinds of things. Another great book is Creating Moments of Joy, and it's a book that is about trying to embrace the challenges that come along the way and find humor in them. The novel Still Alice, which is also a movie you and I have talked about,
so great,
is a great book if you want to learn a little bit about the journey that someone who may be developing Alzheimer's disease is going through.
And I think, you know, I've seen in my 14 years in home care, the most difficult place is when you know you have it and you catch yourself in the middle of those moments. Once people have progressed enough into it, you kind of don't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But that first, and I don't know if it's a year or so of struggling is just heartbreaking.
It is.
It's heartbreaking for the kids. It's heartbreaking for the spouse. It's heartbreaking for the individual.
Mm-hmm.
That to me, seeing people, and that's usually when we get called.
Right.
Is that first stuff is just happening. And there's times that someone's very lucid. And then there's times that they don't recognize something that they would have, or something comes up that they should know and they don't, but they know they should know.
Mm-hmm.
And that look on someone's face when they know that is just, that to me is like, the worst part.
It is.
Is that initial year or so.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we can do is if we try and put ourselves in the shoes of the person who is developing dementia, think about a time in your life where maybe you lost independence for some reason. Maybe you broke your leg and you had to be dependent on people and how frustrating that was. People who are developing dementia and losing the ability to do things that they did with ease in the past are having that frustration all day long, every day.
And it weighs on you. It weighs on how you talk to people. It weighs on how you treat people.
Right.
Yeah, I definitely, and I think that educating ourselves, you know, I see so many families, again, in denial of where mom's at and you know, getting upset. Mom, why did you leave this in the microwave? You can't eat this, you know, and I'm trying to reason with the son, let's say, you know, she says, I didn't put it in there. Well, she's the only one at home.
Right.
And then he says, Mom, who else put it in there if it wasn't you? And I'm standing there like, don't go down that road with her because she's going to argue with you.
Mm-hmm.
And she will win. She will stay on the hamster wheel with you, right?
Right.
So it's just like going, oh, well, Mom, I'm not sure what is with here. Or just toss it.
Yep.
Or I always say, my other tip is, you know, I didn't know I had a doctor's appointment. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I told you.
You take it on yourself.
I had this conversation with you yesterday. Remember, we wrote it on your calendar.
Right.
And she's like, that's not my writing. I didn't write that down. And I'm just like, oh, I'm so sorry. I thought I mentioned it. Well, anyway.
Yep, carry on.
Yeah, just carry on, but just like get off the hamster wheel, you know, just live where they live,
right?
You know, and well, thank you so much for being here today.
Absolutely.
This has been so great. And again, the Walk to End Alzheimer's is coming up on September 22nd. We will have a team there. I know Oakmont will have a team there probably.
Yes.
And if you have a business and you want to have a team there, it was so empowering. This is a disease that's going to touch all of our lives, whether it be a loved one, a friend, a relative, and just our economy and understanding this and raising money to find a cure.
Right.
Because we want to. You and I are in our 40s. We don't want to have this to look forward to in our lives. I want to get this thing knocked out. So I want to remind all of you, if you want to follow us on Facebook, we are at Generations Talk Radio on Facebook or Instagram, and we are here every Wednesday live at 9 a.m. You can also listen to any archived shows at generationstalkradio.com. So if you have a loved one that you think might benefit from hearing the show today or any show that I have recorded here in the studio, they're all up there for you at generationstalkradio.com. And next week, I'm trying to think of who I have, and I can't think of it off the top of my head. So you can go to my Facebook page. I always post it on there who I'm having. And thanks so much, Lorene. It's been great having you. And again, thank you for training all of my staff. I know that they learn a lot, and we want to be armed with all of that knowledge out in the field and provide the best care we can. So thank you for being in our community and sharing all of that, because we're all better for it.
Well, thank you for leading a staff that is kind and compassionate and wants to learn.
I'm proud of them. Yeah. All right. Well, we are going to call it a day. And
we're about 1 minute out.
Oh, okay.
I did want to personally say that in my family's time of need, your staff of professionals were there and were absolutely consummate professionals. And we appreciated we were dealing with a really unknown situation. And that calm influence, more than just the, it helped stabilize things and helped us get our feet on the ground so that we could move forward rather than whirling around in
right.
chaos.
Right, because you guys did have the crisis moment situation come up.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can be very prepared, but still there's a crisis, and that still knocks you off your feet. And we loved caring for your mom, Bob, and thank you for that.
All right.
Thank you for that. Well, we are going to call it a day, right?
Absolutely. We've got Laura Ingram coming up after SRN News at the top of the hour.
Thanks for joining us today, and do not ever regret growing older. It is a privilege denied to many. Have a great day.
And Community Talk Radio for the North State is KCNR AM 1460, KCNR Shasta, Reading News, brought to you by Tobacco.